Welcome to SolidWorks Heard, a show about tools, tips, and technologies surrounding SolidWorks engineering and the web. This is episode 465 for January 23rd, 2014. January Tech News. Well, hi, and welcome to SolidWorks Heard. I'm Lou Gallo. Well, believe it or not, it's the 23rd of the month, and I have yet to do a show this year. So, Happy New Year. I'll start out with that. And I wanted to take some time to talk a little bit about the tech news, mainly because I've really been tied down since the beginning of the year. I actually had scheduled maintenance that I was going through at work, and I ended up taking down a pretty big system in our company and doing a major upgrade. And then, you know, the week that we went live, I had a lot of chasing of just issues and bugs and fixes and things like that. And then I was greeted with a failed server the next week. So I ended up having to rebuild servers and, again, chase tails and try and get data from online storage. And it was just, it has been a crazy whirlwind. And due to that, I lack a lot of time. I also got sick, so that kind of put a damper in my ability to sit down and record. Obviously, my time has been completely sucked up with this. So I apologize for the delay, but I wanted to talk about the tech news, mainly because we haven't talked in a while. A lot of things have happened since then. And I also just wanted to do a little bit on some of the stuff that was announced at CES, which I thought was kind of, it's kind of an interesting time. I've done shows on that for a long time now, and I just thought that there's a couple of things that are worth mentioning, trends and things like that, and obviously how it applies to 3D CAD and obviously engineering in general. I also want to talk a little bit about some of the things as far as what we're going to be doing at SolidWorks World to try and bring you as much of the show as we can. Obviously, for a long time now, probably since 2007 or 6, I've done live blogging and all kinds of stuff at the show. I am going to post a link up in the show notes on how to submit what breakout sessions you'd like to get notes on. We're going to have people all over the place and want to be able to take notes and post them as well for your review. So go look at the user agenda and take a look at the show notes for this show, and you should see a link to submit your topics and sessions. So let's take a look at the tech news in January. Now, usually around this time, I'll cover what's on the main SolidWorks blog, but you know, with every month that goes by, I start to kind of pan back over to where they separated out the blog into this technical area. So now if you go to blogs.solidworks.com/tech, it really gets the stuff that I think many of us are more interested in. So I thought that was actually kind of nice, because this month, again, with SolidWorks World right around the corner, pretty much the entire blog is full of profiles of Partner Pavilion, you know, and stuff like that. And I think if you're just there to get some tech news, it's probably not the best place to go. But there are a couple of headlines that I want to mention in the tech blog. There is also a lot of part reviewer posts up here. These usually come from the EDU blog. And they just kind of give you approaches of how to model certain things. But there are a couple of headlines I wanted to mention. Talk a little bit about the end of December, mesh improvements for SolidWorks Flow Simulation. So it's actually a pretty good post. There's a couple of news-type posts where they're more article-written, more technically written articles. They're not really SolidWorks-specific tips, but there's a post on January 7th about can a bicycle be ridden at 112 miles an hour. There's also another one up here. Can you ride a motorbike on water? You can with SolidWorks. Both are posted by some of the Solid Solutions technical team, so I thought they're actually well-written posts and, again, more focused on kind of the technical aspects of things. There was a few other posts up here that were non-part reviewer. A couple of them actually kind of caught my interest, mainly because, you know, it's the beginning of the year. A lot of times people will evaluate their hardware, looking for upgrading and things like that. Obviously, with CES, all these companies come out and show them kind of their wish list of things they may make, and usually they never hit the market. But it does kind of give you an idea of, you know, looking at forward in the future and things like that. And on January 13th, there was a post by Cat Bean talking a little bit about three things that SolidWorks users should consider when purchasing a new computer. I don't know about you, but you know, I'm fortunate to be in a place where we're constantly upgrading because we're trying to get newest hardware because there's new features and functions that are in SolidWorks. But you know, most places hang on to their computers, you know, 3, 4, 5 years sometimes longer. Now, we've been pretty fortunate with SolidWorks and Windows in general over the past few releases, because I would say that, you know, since 2013, 2013 and 2014 actually seemed to run just as good, if not better, than 12. I know 12 had a couple of hits performance wise, and you know, but you know, the computers nowadays, it's, you know, in general, the hardware runs the operating systems pretty well, and tends to, you know, run the software that we need pretty well without having to upgrade all the time. But there are some interesting things that they're talking about in this post, mainly how to take advantage of some of the performance tests, and then, you know, basically how to decide on new computer. You know, is it supported by SolidWorks? How well does it run SolidWorks? Does it meet your preference, your personal preferences? They talk a little bit about a lot of things that are considered. You know, computers in general run a lot of different things. You know, I always tell people it's not so much about the operating system. It's about the apps that you need, the applications that you run. You know, and that's really the big piece of it when you're considering a new piece of hardware. But I thought it was a good all-around post, just, you know, kind of gets your mind thinking about all the questions that you do ask when you do an upgrade. There's a couple other posts that were kind of nice. New sketch tricks in SolidWorks 2014, talking a little bit about the new lasso selection. And there's also some cool posts. One, how to change the orientation of imported and existing SolidWorks parts. I talk a little bit about that as well. And again, it's one of those things that's kind of fundamental. You know, you run into it quite a bit, and it's probably something that you probably know how to do, but maybe forgot. Another good one up here was a SolidWorks tech tip: image quality properties when saving JPEG and TIFF. This is actually something that's kind of hard to get to. I think a lot of people forget, but when you actually do file save as and that window comes up, there's an options button, and they just walk through it and kind of talk about some of the aspects of that. The other thing that was interesting was another post by Desai Solutions. They posted up here on January 18th about taskbar icons that behave. Now, ever since we got Windows Vista and Windows 7, the way that, you know, applications launch, I don't know if you've ever pinned an application to the taskbar, and then you click on that icon on the taskbar, and it launches yet another icon on the taskbar instead of highlighting the one that you want. And they talk a little bit about this because a lot of times during the installation, it'll actually pin the launcher. And SolidWorks has a launcher that launches the XE. And so they talk a little bit about some of the things that you can run into with that and how to get them to actually behave. There's also a little in-depth from Solid experts talking about result comparisons with SolidWorks simulation configurations. This is something that was always, and I think I talked about this in the What's New show, this was always kind of a frustrating part of Sim. I've used Sim since it first came into SolidWorks when it was back in the Cosmos Works days. And it was one of the best parts about it was that I could create a config and then I could run a different study on it. But I had no way to show or look at each config's results. I always had to switch the configuration. And this release, they finally gave you that ability. So I thought that was pretty awesome. And they talk a little bit about that on the January 21st post. So that's most of the stuff that was in the tech blog. Let's take a look at the tech alerts and as well as the monthly FAQ. Now, as far as tech alerts go, there really hasn't been anything. The last tech alert that came out was January 9th. This was the announcement of SolidWorks 2014 SP2 Early Visibility that is available for download. Remember, Early Visibility is something that you do have to sign up for in your profile and your customer portal account. But really, it doesn't... I don't know a lot of people take advantage of it, unless you have something that you specifically are after. Obviously, this is something that you don't do with production data. So, but that's really the only tech alert. So if you go back to the tech blog, you can actually check this out. But on January 8th, Julian pushed out the SolidWorks monthly support monthly news. And so it starts out, you know, pretty focused. There is a reminder out there for those of you that run Windows 8.1 like myself. Support for SolidWorks 2014. If you tried to install SP0, you probably ran into a problem with the entitlement server. So when it was trying to activate your software and verify you, it would just fail. And it was super frustrating. I got it to install only because what I did is I ran the installer to download from another machine and then connected to it. But, you know, the workaround was kind of a pain in the butt. So what they're telling you now is that SolidWorks 2014 SP1, which obviously is already out, is the first version of SolidWorks to officially support Windows 8.1. Some users tried installing SolidWorks 2014 SP0 on it. It may have led to an error connecting to the entitlement server, and the installation fails. So again, very frustrating, but it looks like they've got a grasp on it. And they do mention that if you run into an issue, there's a workaround explained in solution ID S-064260. And if you don't have success with that solution, call your reseller. They can actually log a support call under this and get that fixed. Now, there's also a post up here to vote for the ideas for the SolidWorks World Top 10 list. We talked about this at the last tech news. I believe this is all shut down now. Voting closed on January 15th. So if you didn't get your 2 cents in, you'll have to wait until coverage of the general session to see what the top 10 list actually ended up being. Spotlight on Features is another segment in here, and this week it's on sheet metal, understanding the new and old feature tree. Talk a little bit about the SolidWorks 2010 introduced the multi-body sheet metal functionality, and with 2013, they redesigned the area to improve the existing functionality. So they have some side-by-sides of the difference of what the tree looked like before and after. Now, they mentioned a few other things about it, so if you are a heavy sheet metal user, it's probably a good read. Again, you can check it out in the January 8th post. They also talk a little bit about solver performance boosted in SolidWorks Simulation 2014, and they have a little chart here talking about the FFE Plus performance improvement with the increasing amount of cores. This is actually something that has been majorly focused on for simulation. So if you're a sim user and you're not using 2014, this is something that may be some gravity for you to move and upgrade to it. The 2014 installation package includes a new version of an iterative solver. We talked about this in the What's New, and it's used for SolidWorks Simulation 2014 FFE Plus solver. And the performance improvement is in the range of 10 to 15% in general. And if there's no penetration contact problems, it has an improvement of about 40%. So it also can use more cores, up to 8. So it's actually a pretty cool solver. Again, if you do a lot of simulation, they kind of go into some more details about the difference and some of the improvements also in the direct sparse solver. Some of the noteworthy solutions in the SolidWorks knowledge base. Again, these are well laid out. He has a little icon for the different products, so for SolidWorks and EPDM and things like that. But the first one here is, how can the following script error be seen during startup launch of SolidWorks on Windows 7 be resolved? The value of property git vertical is null or undefined, not a function object. This has been an issue found and has been caused by a recent November 2013 Windows update. And, and of course, it has to do with Windows Explorer 11. It says, at the time of this writing, this version of Internet Explorer is not supported with use for SolidWorks. Refer to the SolidWorks system requirements for a list of supported versions. Uninstalling IE11 has been solved, has solved this issue. So if you've never done that before, you can really just go into your Windows updates, and usually you can find the update that says IE11 and remove it. But I'm not sure if this has been fixed yet. They do talk about the uninstall procedure in solution ID S-064518. There's also another one up here for SolidWorks. Is why does SolidWorks Student Design Kit SDK 2013-2014 fail to launch with the error? This limited version life of SolidWorks has expired, even though I'm still entitled to use it. This is a known software issue which causes problems with SolidWorks Student Design Kit 2013-14. There is a hot fix available, so you can go to the forums, and there's a link in the monthly FAQ for it, and you can download that, and it should correct the issue. Another one for EPDM. What causes the following warning to randomly appear when not working in when working in EPDM 2014 SP0 or SP1 Vault View? Could not get the files from the database. This could happen during heavy traffic. Please try the operation again later. Many of you probably seen that before. I always ask people when they get that message if they're connected via Wi-Fi. But a lot of things can happen with that. It actually talks about, you know, if you lose connection, you'll usually get that. There are some explanations in solution ID S-064815. And the last one here is for flow simulation. It says list of extra items in engineering database of the SolidWorks flow simulation bought by HVAC and electronic cooling. The table in the attached solution S-064513 summarizes the differences in the context of the engineering database in version 2013. And for users who only have FlowSim without the additional modules and having an HVAC and or the electronic cooling module. So those two modules obviously add quite a bit to the extras inside the engineering database portion of the tool. So if you have one, obviously your list is quite expansive, but they do give you a nice table of all the things that are in one version versus the other. Now, this is the area that I usually just cover a little bit of the tech news, what's been going on. Obviously, I have an addiction called tech, and it is something that I pay attention to. So I thought I'd mention a couple things that kind of caught my eye. I mark a bunch of things, and I'm going to kind of pick my top five. But, you know, Google's been on kind of a buying spree right before Christmas. I know that Andy Rubin, the person who used to run the Android division, kind of went off on his own and is doing projects for Google. They call it the kind of the... what do they call it? The moonshot. and a lot of the stuff like the driving cars and things like that are all come out of that that division of Google. And so they've been buying up robotic companies, and they actually purchased a company, Boston Dynamics. They make some very interesting robots, some of which that can run. They kind of look like animals. They kind of look like a dog. But they make a robot called the Cheetah that can run 28 miles an hour. And they've got a nice list on Boy Genius Report talking about these five best robots from that are owned by Google now. A few other things that are interesting too, GitHub, something that I use quite a bit. Git is a version management tool for code. So if you write code, it's how you keep track of versions. And GitHub is kind of like a social implementation of Git. And they add 3D modeling features and make it a printer agnostic choice for object sharing. And this was actually posted on TechCrunch, and a guy, again, kind of caught my eye because they've got this nice little viewing capability. It's for STL right now, but you know, being able to keep versions of your CAD data in Git is always something that I've played with a few times. Obviously, having Git installed on all my computers because I write code, I've often played with the fact that I could put a CAD file in there and pull different versions, and it works, sort of. It really doesn't understand the associativity, but... you know, it is kind of a interesting move. You know, you think of things like Shapeways and a lot of these 3D printing solutions. This is kind of a cool way to be able to push this data up there. Another interesting acquisition from Google was Nest. This actually happened this past week, and Nest was acquired for $3.2 billion. You may remember Tony Fadell. He's the father of the iPod. He was at SolidWorks World a couple of years ago, but they make the learning thermostat, and they also just recently came out, right around the Thanksgiving timeframe, came out with a smoke detector, both that are internet-connected and control from your phone and monitor from your phone and have all kinds of cool little features. They actually talk to one another, and I'm actually an owner of both of those products, and they're pretty cool. I actually have you get a little summary at the end of the month showing your usage, and it's pretty neat. But to see Google acquire them, I'm actually hoping that more of the data side of it gets opened up, because there is some data that you get, but you're not able to really dig in and look at the whole month of everything that happened. You get some summary reports, which would be fine for someone who's not a data nerd like me, but I'm kind of curious to see what the move is with Google and a lot of these robotics and automation tools that they have out there. And last but not least, I wanted to touch just briefly on CES. I actually had written a show up for this, and you know, the more that I look at it, it's interesting to look at the trends. You can even look at SolidWorks Herd and go back through the years and look at the CES shows and what was actually talked about. You know, in the early days, it was about, you know, big TVs, HD TVs, and high-res TVs and high refresh rate TVs. And, you know, then they would talk about 3D TVs, and there was the year of the netbook, and, you know, when, you know, right before the iPad came out, you know, 2011 and 2012 CES was all about these, like, you know, cheap and garbage touchscreen devices. And this year, it seems to me that the trends were very much around touch, convertible type of devices, whether they were laptops that had touchscreens or whatever. There seemed to be a lot of those this year. There was a lot of focus on home automation, and there was a lot of focus on 4K TVs, so like double or four times the resolution of HD. And so there's some interesting trends there, but I would say that the tablet touch interfaces were very big, and home automation seemed to be some of the biggest things that that I saw. But if you want to really get a good synopsis of what CES had this year, especially around engineering and engineering-type tools, the best place to go is ces.cnet.com. They seem to do the best breakdown. You can look at different subcategories and really be able to kind of hone in on the things that you're paying attention to. You know, so many people were all about being at CES, and you know, after the years go by and having the internet and everyone's there and so many people are there, so much coverage of it, and it almost gets to the point where you pretty much have the entire show online, and you now you have to figure out ways to figure out the noise to signal, you know, what is garbage and what is not. And so I always like looking at it because I like trying to kind of determine the trends that you kind of can see from what a lot of these, what a lot of these companies are going to show. But you have to remember, much of what they bring out in many cases is like something out of their labs or something they thought up. Most of the stuff is prototypes and never actually hits the market. So you have to kind of take it with a grain of salt. But it is interesting if you're a technology buff and you like kind of seeing what's possible, this is definitely the show to pay attention to. And the last thing I want to touch on is SolidWorks World coverage. I just put them up on the blog today. If you go to solidworksherd.com/live-coverage, you will see the three links. There'll be three posts on there for the general sessions, day one, day two, and day three. Remember, day one and day two usually have dramatic speakers, awesome stuff. They usually reveal a few little things, and then day three is usually the reveal of the next version of SolidWorks. So I'm hoping this year maybe we'll actually get two reveals. Maybe we'll actually get to see more about Mechanical Conceptual, the hosted tool that they're going to have, as well as the next version 2015 of SolidWorks. So stay tuned. If you can't make it live, it's going to be 8:30 Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, PST, so Pacific time, for the general sessions. And then after that, like I said, check out the post for this show, because I'll have a link to just a Google form that you can type in the name and section and time for the breakout sessions that you'd like coverage for. So if you want to get coverage in the breakouts that are on the user form, you just go to SolidWorks main site. I think it's just at solidworks.com/SWW or SW World. And excuse me, and you can go up there and actually like look through the user agenda. So pick out the places you want. If we've got people that are in those breakouts, we'll be taking detailed notes and we'll be sharing our notes afterwards. So stay tuned on the coverage, but coverage will start first thing on Monday morning. All right, well, that's the tech news for January. I'm really hoping to get some recordings done while I'm there, but I think I'm probably going to be blogging more than recording. I'm gonna have a summary show. I would like to try and get a couple of things out while I'm there, but all time permitting, I usually end up getting swamped with meetings and trying to visit with people I only see when I'm at SolidWorks World. So I'll do my best, but I'm gonna try and do a lot of posting just in the blog as well. So keep your eye out if you want to look for me on Google Plus. I'll probably be on there as well. But stay tuned, and I'll talk to you guys at SolidWorks World. If you have any questions or comments about this episode, you can hit the comments section or email me at lou@solidworksherd. Don't forget to follow The Herd on Google+, Twitter, or Facebook by searching for SolidWorks Herd. This episode of SolidWorks Herd was sponsored by Digital Dimensions, Forward Engineering Solutions, online at www.ddicad.com. Music is provided by 21 Against by the means of Music Alley at musicalley.com.